Each week that I come to speak, I always have to say that it took an act of God to get here because I live at 70th South and 32nd West, and you can't get here from there anymore. And that has been going on now for months and months and months and months, and I've, you know, lost track of the number of times they've dug up 78th South and 32nd West. So I went around today to 27th West, as did the other 564 people that were trying to get to 90th South. So I was very grateful that I allowed enough time to get here. So I appreciate you making an effort to come out and support Mountain Vista with your presence here today. So I have worked for the state of Utah for, let me find my notes here, for more than 20 years. I really haven't forgotten that. I don't really need notes for that part. 20 glorious years. And from the top down, we are required to set our goals based on the department's mission statement, and then demonstrate our success or failure based on measurable outcomes. It's always about the outcomes. Our goals are set in one-year increments, and each year in May, we are judged on how we finished out the year. You know, it used to be a ranking of outstanding or exceptional, and then they go back to pass-fail, and then they change it, and then we get a new director, and then we change the way our performance plans are written. But it's always about looking ahead and having measurable outcomes so that you can know whether you've been successful in what you're doing. And the approach seems to permeate all of our lives, I think, not just if you're working or not. We're looking to the future and tracking our progress as we run our race and head towards the finish line. It seems that we're always focused on the end and actually not the race itself. We've been taught in our management classes, at least I have in my certified public manager classes, to begin with the end in mind. You've got to have a plan. So we're always looking at the end. We're just, you know, always looking out there at the end. And we never know where the race will lead us and what our finish line might look like and how soon we'll actually get there in our personal lives. So I wanted to look at a couple of figures in, one figure in particular in the Bible. And this is a giant, one of the giants in our Jewish and Christian history. And that is Moses. John, if you can get the, thank you, the reading up here. Let me get out of the way here. Make sure, I wonder if this is the same translation as I got. I did find, I was really excited about finding a place on the internet where you can type in a word and it, you know, it gives you a pronunciation of how to do it. And most of the time, in two out of the three I was trying to get here, I actually got the translation. And so you type it in and you hit, you know, submit, and then you're kind of surprised because there's a voice that comes back out of the machine and tells you how to say the word. And I said, oh, this really does tell you how to say this word. I don't know if he's right, but we'll give it a shot. So today's Bible scripture comes from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 through 12. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the Valley of Jericho, the city of palms, and as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is a land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And Moses, the servant of God, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent to him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Now, I can only imagine, you know, most of us know the story of Moses. I can only imagine how disappointed Moses had to be when he was standing there. And it actually worked out, the story worked out real well out in Eureka a couple weeks ago when I did it, because I had a couple girls that come in from Payson. And I had this thought about what to do for the children's time. I had looked up different ideas to do for children's time, and it was all about, you know, Moses going down the river in a basket. But it didn't really, nothing was out there that was really supporting what I was trying to talk about Moses being so close to the promised land, but just not getting there. So I had the two girls, these two sisters from Payson, stand at the end of the aisle. And there was a rug up here in front, and I had Halloween candy, and I had it in a bucket. And I had them race walking so they wouldn't kill each other, but walk as fast as they could, these two sisters, until they got to the edge of the rug. And then I showed them all the candy that I had here, and then I held it out. And they, for all they were worth, were trying to reach this candy, saying, "Can you reach this?" And they said, you know, and they were reaching for all they were worth trying to get this candy. And so it was quite a visual, you know, representation of this, how Moses must have felt, because these little girls were just like this on tippy toe trying to get to the candy. But I had them just out of reach. And as much as Moses was a faithful, although albeit somewhat reluctant servant of God, he had to have felt that as he was there and was at the end of his race, at the end of his life, that after all of his faithful service, that God said, "See all this? You can't have it. I'm so sorry. Sorry. Missed it by that much. Just can't go in there." When we look back on Moses' life and the race that he ran, he was, of course, raised in Pharaoh's kingdom, raised by Pharaoh, and you know, sent down the river. We know about that. And he was raised as an Egyptian until he was 40 years old, and then he witnessed a killing, and so he kills the Egyptian and he flees to Midian. And there he gets married. So he's 40 years old. From birth to 40, he's in the, you know, in with Pharaoh, and he's living the great life here. But he flees, and for 40 years, he tends to sheep. For 40 years. To the tender age of 80. And then God talks to Moses through a burning bush, and he's got to be saying, "Are you kidding me? I'm on Social Security. I've really, you know, I'm 80 years old. I really don't want to go back and do this." But at the age of 80, He goes back to Egypt and brings the Israelites out. And, of course, they wander around for 40 years because men don't like to ask for directions. I think I read that somewhere in Deuteronomy. I'm not sure. So they wander around, and that's a whole other story. And finally, at the age of 120, you know, he's brought to the promised land, but just can't quite, you know, isn't allowed to go in. But he's got Jethro. Joshua. Joshua is he's been mentoring his close friend, and he's been mentoring him, and he turns the reins over to Joshua. And it's Joshua that comes in to the promised land. And so I think we have some lessons here from Moses. We have lessons about disappointment, about being faithful along the way, along the road, regardless of what the outcome is at the end, not having our sight necessarily set so much on the prize. And I think there is one other person that I'd like to lift up in this illustration about running the race that's been set before you and being faithful regardless of how the end comes out. And that is Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King said, Well, I don't know. This was in a speech or a sermon that he said, and this is a quote. "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go to the mountain. I've looked over. I've seen the promised land." So he's obviously referring to Moses, to this story of Moses. He says, "I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Does anybody know when that speech was delivered? It was delivered on April 3rd, 1968 in Memphis, Tennessee, the day before he was assassinated. So, I don't know if he had plenty of enemies, and I don't know if he had some premonition of his own death. But I think his words are prophetic as they hearken back to Moses. When he says, "I may not get there with you." Moses didn't get there, but he mentored people to keep going in his place. And that's a lesson that we can take from this. The civil rights movement did not end with the death of Martin Luther King in 1968. It galvanized everybody that was following him. It galvanized a nation that this man had been killed, this man who had preached peaceful disobedience and peaceful protests and started a movement. He was a leader like Moses who was not thinking of just his own race and his own end, and I'm going to get to the end here and it's all about me. It was a person that mentored and brought up leaders in his wake to continue the race long after he was gone. You've heard the saying, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. That's a hard rule to live by when our race doesn't necessarily go as planned. Even when we make plans and execute them perfectly, life just happens. People have strokes, people lose jobs, financial plans change, the plans that you might have had for yourself and for your children, for your life, as you look back, maybe didn't quite go, and you just... Maybe at the end of our lives, many of us will find that we have fallen short on whatever goal we might have had for the end. Our race may not end as we had intended it. Our finish line may come sooner than we would like and not look like what we thought it would be. In the end, it's how we run the race that matters. How have we reflected Christ's teachings to others? How have we served others? How have we strengthened the faith of others through our own faith, our own searching, our own discovery? Who have we mentored along the way that will continue the race long after we're gone? Who are we ready to pass the baton off? Does it end with us? Last year when we did our stewardship campaign, I talked about the people that came before us, the ones that struck out that to make a place for us here, the Dave Gersons, the people that are long gone, the Mannies and the Dave Gersons and countless others, that their vision was for us. What we're doing here now, the race that we're running now, is not for us. It's for all the people that come, all the kids that come up behind us in the future. It's what legacy do we leave behind that will continue on long after we are gone. It's not our race. It is our race, but it's not our end in mind that we need to be focusing on. The lesson to take away, I think, is simple. God never asks us to be successful, only faithful. May we always keep the faith and run the race that has been set before us. May we nurture and support those around us that they may take up the baton when our race is done. And may we keep our eyes on Christ and the next step, just the next step in front of us, rather than the prize at the finish line. Amen.